Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast, recorded on the Sunday morning sermons of Prairie Oaks Baptist Church here in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Wherever you listen to these, we appreciate that you find these Bible teachings profitable for your spiritual growth. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We meet when weather permits in our open-air pavilion, or we meet in the sanctuary just nearby. It is a laid-back worship experience that you won't soon forget. You can also find links to our messages on our YouTube channel, or you can follow us on Facebook at Prairie Oaks to find out more about our current events. And if you'd like to contribute to this teaching ministry, you can follow the links in the notes. But let's get to the message.
13. As you know, I'm not from Arkansas, so I sound a little different. And so I hope you will be patient with my accent, and I pray that the Lord will teach us through His Word. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 44 to 46. It's two shortest parables that Jesus Christ taught us. So verse 44, if you don't mind, will you stand with me as we honor the Word of God as we read. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. I'm reading for the New American Standard version. It might be a little different. Verse 44, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid it again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought. This is the living word of God, and from this text, I want to bring a message titled, "Lose All to Gain All." Lose all to gain all. You may be seated. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this time that we can come to your presence to look at your word. Pray that you will be with me and everybody here in this morning, that you will teach us, you will change our heart, our mind, and our life through your living word. And in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. The year was 1952. A man named Jim Elliot decided to leave his home country, which is here in America, and went to a nation called Ecuador to bring the gospel to the mountain people in Ecuador. And it's a challenge, it's a dangerous calling for him, but for him, God is the most valuable person, and preaching his gospel is the best thing he can do in his life. So he left in 1952, but 4 years later, Jim Elliot was killed with his four other friends. The date was January 8, 1956. He died, and he left his wife and his baby daughter behind. When people look at his life, people think it's foolish. People think that he made the wrong decision. People think that he shouldn't lose his life, his young life, and his young baby, and his young wife, to the gospel. But for him, it's wise in his eyes. But for him, that's the best thing he can do for his Lord. I think years before he went there, you might know this. He said that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. He knows that his life, either young or old, one day he will die.
Amen.
But for him to give his life for the sake of the gospel, he's no fool, but he's wise. Because he gave his life that will soon pass away in order to gain, to make a difference in His kingdom. Amen. Why I told you this story? Because the text that we're looking at today is talking about a man, maybe two men, who found something so valuable that they are willing to sell all that they have in order to gain what they think is most valuable. What is more valuable for you this morning? For some, it may be family, education, maybe money, job, whatever that is. But for us Christians, there's nothing more valuable than God and His kingdom, Christ and His salvation. So there's a little way we can look at this parable, but I want to do two things this morning. First, I want to spend time looking at these two parables briefly. It's only three verses. And after that, I want to look at some applications, some lessons we can learn about life, about Christian life, about the kingdom of God, which I have three applications. There's a lot of applications for this, but I have time for three, if I do have time for three. But first, let's look at this parable. The first parable is called the parable of hidden treasure. And the second one is the a costly pearl. Verse 44 begins saying the kingdom of heaven. Verse 45 start again the same, the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is the same thing. Two terms with different meaning. Now the kingdom of God, sometimes when we hear this word, we think about heaven. We think about the presence of God. But the kingdom of heaven of God is more than that. It's talking about the reign of God. It's talking about the government of God. That means the kingdom of God includes everything under the reign of God. It's talking about God Himself. It's talking about Christ. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about all the blessing that in the kingdom of God. So when I talk about the kingdom of God, I want you to know that I'm talking about everything. I talk about God, I talk about Christ, salvation, I talk about His truth and everything in it. And Jesus compared His kingdom to two things here. The first thing He compared to a treasure hidden in the field. Now, this is unusual for us. We don't bury our money in the field today. I don't know if you do here, but we don't in our country. Because we have the bank. So when you have the money, you invest your money in the bank or in some business. But people in that day, there's no such thing in a bank like we have today. So when they have money, what they do is that they bury it in their property. They will put in a case, they will lock it and dig and bury it under their property. And so when they need it, they will take it out and put it back, and they probably do that at night so nobody will see it. And the issue coming up is that sometimes due to some situation, they have to move away. Maybe war, which happened a lot in those days. Or maybe they might die suddenly and nobody know where the treasure is hidden. And the story talking about the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. And there's a man came by and found that treasure. We don't know what is that man doing here. He might be working there. He might be passing through. He might be renting that property. We don't know. That's not the point. The point is that he found it. And we know from the text that that treasure is not belong to him. It belongs to the owner of that property, whoever that is. Or whatever that is. But the thing we saw here is that he wants that treasure real bad. But it's not his. What is he supposed to do? The text said that he found it. He didn't take it. He didn't steal it. But he buried it again. And then he went home and sold everything he has. And come back and buy that land. Because in that land, hidden the treasure that he wanted so bad. There's a lot of things we can look at here. But when we read this story, there's a lot of questions come up. Like, why Jesus told this parable, it sounds unethical. Why he didn't tell the owner? Why he just tried to be tricky and try to get the land? But we have to remember, this is a parable. A parable is, as an author said, is an earthly story with heavenly meaning. So the point here is that it's not about why he did this, but the point is that he found something so valuable that he's willing to give up everything so that he can have it. And just looking at some historical perspective, there's a Jewish law say that if a man found a seed or plant or treasure something where the owner didn't know or it didn't belong to him, whoever found it, keep it. So that's the thing that happened here. And also we see his sincerity also. I mean, he could have stolen it, or as an author said, he could have stole some of it, sell it, and come and buy the land. But that's not what he did. He found it, he won it, he sold all he has, come back and buy it. So the first parable, a man found something so valuable, he's willing to give up all to gain it. The second parable is the same thing, the same message, the same meaning. It's a little different because here it said that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. Now, here's the difference between these two parables is that the first one stumbled upon the treasure. The second one, seeking for it. Talk about a merchant, a businessman who do a pearls business, so he will have money, travel to places, he will buy low price and sell and make some profit out of it. So the same thing happened, he found something so valuable, which is the pearls, and he didn't have enough money this time. So you think about a businessman found something, and he should have a lot of cash with him, or maybe some other pearls and gold, but it's not enough for him. So what he did is that he went home, sold everything he has, maybe sold all his pearls. The Bible didn't say that, but I can't help but thinking he might sell all his pearls, all his gold and money and silver, maybe land, house, whatever it is, so that he can come back and buy these pearls of great price. So we see the same message again. A man found something so valuable that he's willing to sacrifice everything so that he can gain what he found. Now, what is the application for us here? As I said, there's a lot in here, but if I would summarize in one sentence, I would be this. The kingdom of God is so valuable that the wise who see it is willing to give up all to be a part of God's kingdom.
That's right.
The kingdom of God is so valuable that the wise who see it is willing to give up all to gain it. Now I want to break that down in three outlines for those who like taking note. The first thing I want you to see that the kingdom of God is incomparable in its value. The kingdom of God is incomparable in its value. In other words, the kingdom of God is priceless. We see in this text that the man found the treasure. The man who found the pearls, look at that as something so valuable. So likewise, the kingdom of God is priceless. Now you think about it. To know God, to have relationship with Him, to be adopted as His son, and to have eternal life with Him, isn't that valuable to you? So the kingdom of God, just to know Him, to be loved by Him, to have life with Him both on earth and heaven, I don't think there's nothing comparable to the value of knowing God and His Son. Just to think about it, a couple of texts that you can look at, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. It's a beautiful text that I want you to see regarding the value of this, of His kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it said that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away." So for you and me who know Christ, who is in his kingdom, this is valuable. This is priceless. Mm-hmm. This is valuable than the treasure and the pearls that this two men found in this parable. So the question is that, is the kingdom of God valuable to you? How valuable it is to you? Is it more valuable than your cars, your house, your family? I hope so. And it should be. Because there's nothing compared to the kingdom of God. Now, the value of the kingdom of God is not seen by eyes, but it's seen by the heart, by the working of the Holy Spirit. Why some people come to Christ? Why some people see the value of the gospel? Why millions of people still rejecting the gospel? Because some see it, some don't see the value of it. And it's not because one person is smarter than the other, but it's the work of God in his life. Mm-hmm. Now think with me for a second. The Bible didn't say this. Come back to Matthew 13. Can you imagine these two men went home and told his wife, his in-law, or whatever that is, and said that, hey, we're going to sell our house. We're going to sell our land. We're going to sell, we're going to empty your bank account because I found this piece of land. Because I found this pearls. Now, the same might be true for a lot of us who want to follow Christ, who see the value of Christ, that people will disagree with us. People who don't see the value of going to church, reading the Bible, giving for mission, or giving for the kingdom of God, those things are foolish to them because they don't see the value of it. But for us who see the value of the kingdom of God, we know that it's priceless, as the most valuable thing, and we'll be willing to do anything for the kingdom of God. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 say? It said that the gospel of Christ is foolish to those who don't believe. But for us, it's the power of God. And there's a lot of texts we can go, like for example in Psalm, turn to Psalm, we'll read a couple of Psalms. Psalm 73, 25 said that, whom have I in heaven but you, and beside you I desire nothing on earth. And for a day in your house is better than a thousand days somewhere else. Can we stay with him? That one day with God, to be with God, to be in his presence is precious than a thousand days anywhere else. So my question is that, if God, Christ, salvation is most valuable to you, if someone will ask you what is priceless in your life, what would be the answer? Would it be the kingdom of God? Would it be this treasure in Christ? And if so, how is our daily life reflect this value? How do you spend your time? What do you spend your time watching? What do you think about when you go to bed? What do you think about when you wake up in the morning? What is in your mind all the time? If something so valuable, if God is valuable to you, he will be in your mind, your heart, all day long.
That's right.
Amen.
The author of Psalm chapter 1 said that he meditated the word of God all day. So let us reflect in our life that God is the most valuable. And that's why the Bible says, seek first his kingdom, pray that his kingdom will come, love God with everything we are and everything we have. So pray that, my prayer is that God will help us see that his kingdom is the most valuable thing, and let us do everything in our life to reflect that. When non-Christians look at our life, when your wife look at how you spend your time, when your husband look at you, can they tell that you value God more than anything else in your life? The kingdom of God is incomparable in its value. Now let's move on. The second thing I want you to see is that the kingdom of God is incalculable in its cost. The kingdom of God is incalculable in its cost. Now since the kingdom of God is so valuable, does the price tag that come with it is so high. It's costly. Now when we talk about here, it's a little nervous because people think, do you have to pay money to enter the kingdom of God? No, we know that salvation is by grace through our faith in Christ. Ephesians 2:8 clear about it. Isaiah 55 is saying free invitation for us to come to Him. But you know what? The price of following Christ is high. The price of maintaining a faithful disciple in Him is costly. The price of being God's children and to be faithful to His word is costly. I hope it costs you something to be His children. I hope it costs you something to follow Him. Because if you don't pay anything to follow Him, you might not really follow Him. Because everybody who follows Christ, there's a price to pay. For some, it might cost their family. For some, it might be their job. It might be friendship. Whatever that is, for all true disciples, there's a price to pay. Come look me, Matthew 13. There's a lot of things to cover, but from both texts, we saw the word from John over it. He goes and sells all that he has in verse 44. 46, he said that he went and sold all that he had. Now, Sam, so we see the sacrifice these two men made for the treasure and the pearl that they found. So this text reminded us the radical nature of discipleship. It's talking about the price that comes with being a member in the kingdom of God. So God, because when we come to Him, we come on His terms, not our terms. And the price of following Christ is high. You remember when Christ on this earth doing ministry, He preached not in such a way that people would like Him. He preached a hard message. And some people will say that, that's hard. Who can accept this? And some, many of them fall away. So what is the price? What do it cost? As the book says, it will cost you everything, to gain everything. Now, there's a lot of text I can go, but I want you to look with me briefly in a couple of chapters. Turn with me to Luke 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, down to verse 33. I'm not going to read all of them. Verse 25 in Luke 14 said that, now a large crowd were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What is the qualification of being Christ's disciple? Love him more than everyone. Love him more than everything, even our own life. Verse 33 says, so then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possession. What is it required to follow him? Love him more than everyone, everything, even our own life. That's the condition of being in his kingdom. If you can't do this, you're not qualified to be in his kingdom. Now, we can't do this with our own strength, but by the grace of God, he allowed us day by day to grow into the grace so that we can do this command. So what Jesus said here is not an option. It's a command. It's a requirement for those who desire to be in his kingdom. The problem with in my country when you share the gospel is that a lot of them tell them about the good thing. Hey, when you follow Christ, this is the blessing, you go to heaven, you will see a lot of Christian friends, but they never tell them Luke 14. What it will cost them. That's why in a lot of countries you couldn't mind. It's just powerful to see people willing to go against their family, forsake all their forefathers' belief and say that I'm gonna follow Christ no matter what my family think. And that's a high price to pay. And just for the sake of another illustration, you remember in Luke 18? Just a few pages from there, there's a rich young ruler come to Christ and said that, what must he do to have eternal life? Jesus told him, go sell everything and come follow me. Did he do it? No. He can't, because why? because his possession is more valuable than God. It's come between him and the Lord. So, what is pulling you away to follow Christ? What price you cannot pay to come to Christ? And for some who you hear that might not know Christ yet, let me tell you, there's a price to pay. But it's worth it. Because what we're getting into is the kingdom of God that's so valuable that there's nothing to be compared to that. Last thing, real fast. So the kingdom of God is incomparable, it's in value. Second thing is that, so it's incalculable in its cost. The last thing, the kingdom of God is immeasurable in its return. Yes, it's valuable. Yes, it's costly. Yes, it's returned. Its reward is immeasurable, incomparable. So with these two parables, the two men found the treasure in the post. They went and sold everything. They did the math. I have to sell everything. I have to sell all my posts, my house, and everything. But it came back right. What I have to give is worth it compared to what I have in return. The kingdom of God is the same. Whatever you have to give up, whatever you have to give away, whatever you have to lose, is immeasurable compared to what you have in return.
Amen.
Go back to what I said at first. The kingdom of God is priceless. To know Him, to be with Him, both on earth and forever, is incomparable.
Amen.
And there's nothing you or me couldn't give away so that we will be a part of this kingdom. Because what we have to give and what we have in return is incomparable. It's immeasurable.
That's right.
Immeasurable. As a preacher that I like, he said that who wouldn't give away dirt for diamond? Who wouldn't give trade sin for salvation, for hell, for heaven, guilt for grace, emptiness for eternal life? Who wouldn't do this? He's not wise, but a fool. Because what we have to give up and what we have in return is immeasurable. So when we share the gospel, when we encourage our friends and family, yes, it's a price to pay. Yes, it's cost to fall in Christ. Yes, it's have sacrificed to men. But in the end of the day, when you sit down and do the math, it's worth it. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. We know this text. But look with me one more time. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. This is Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. He said that, more than that, from 7 he said that, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of what? Knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain what? Gain Christ. Paul said that whatever he gained, whatever he suffered, is nothing compared to the value of knowing Christ. Knowing God and be in His presence. And Jesus said that whatever we give up, whatever we forsake, family and anything, what we have returned is 100-fold. It's immeasurable. You remember the story of Mary in Mark 14? Remember the story. She came and poured a very expensive perfume on the feet of Christ. And people look at her. Even the disciples say that, why? Why do you do that? You could save that money to give the poor. Or she could save that, sold that perfume and feed herself the rest of her life. But that's not how Mary saw it. She saw the value of Christ, the preciousness of her Lord. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more valuable to her than Christ. That's why she's willing to to give up expensive perfume for her Lord. Listen to, this is one of the books that said that the kingdom of God is something worth losing everything for. There is great reward in submitting to the redemptive rule and reign of God in Christ. And this reward is greater than everything this world offers. Do you believe that? Whatever you have, whatever valuable thing you have, you put it one side, you compare with Christ. Christ outweighs everything because it's worth the sacrifice. C.T. Studd said that if Christ be God and die for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. The great missionary, several guys said that after they suffered for Christ, after they lost their children and wife in the mission field, those people would say, I made no sacrifice because what Christ gave to me is beyond anything I can ever give to him. So the kingdom of God is so valuable that the wise who see it is willing to give anything, sacrifice anything to be a part of that kingdom. Let us be that person. Let us be that man who found the treasure, the pearl, to see the kingdom of God and say that, I want that kingdom. I want to be in there. I will give away anything I can so that I can know Christ and to be a part of his kingdom. And not only that, our value is not only an idea, but it's a lifestyle. Let us reflect our life that his value. And I saw some young girl and boy here. There's a lot of things you can pursue in life, but remember, there's nothing more valuable than Christ. So pursue him. Seek after him. Therefore, let us pursue his kingdom. Let us serve this kingdom. Let us be proud of this kingdom. Let us joyfully give everything, do everything joyfully, like in the parable, so that we can say that the kingdom of God is valuable, and this is the best thing I got, and I will do anything so that I can be a part of it. And may God help us to be that person. The Bible says that, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forsake his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange of his soul? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is nothing. Nothing. So let us see the value of his kingdom. Let us pay any price we can, because what we have in return is priceless. It's immeasurable. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today, for this text. Let's see the value of your kingdom. Let us pursue you. Let us seek after you so that we can be a part of your kingdom. Help us to have strength and wisdom to pursue you, to give up anything, to sacrifice anything that we can between you and us so that we can be faithful disciples. Help those who in this church to be faithful in proclaiming the value of your kingdom and to be a sample reflecting the value of being in your kingdom. Let us pursue you. Let us seek after you. Let us value nothing in life more than you. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. We pray for you that you are blessed by these messages, and we're praying that you join us again next time as we continue our series in God's Word.